Amen. I welcome everyone to today's session of fellowshipping in his presence like never before. I do hope that the Lord will perform a very special miracle in your life before the end of today's session in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our message today is Standing Up to Fear, Part 4, which means we've discussed Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, and now we are on Part 4. I would like to start by telling you the important parts you play for you to receive your miracles. It is by holding on to your bold faith and overcoming any obstacle or difficulty that is attached to fear. Faith plays a crucial role in overcoming fear and anxiety. That is why the Bible says to you and I in Hebrews 11 verse 1, in Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives you the assurance of what you hoped for and the certainty of what you do not see. This assurance allows us believers to face our fears and anxieties with confidence in God's word and in his promises. As we engage in regular prayer and meditation in God's word, it helps us reinforce our trust and confidence in his promises. Fellowshipping together in a faith community like ours can provide encouragement, can provide strength and support for you to stand up to fear. As we fellowship together, it helps turn our vulnerability into strength, our weakness into power. It helps us to increase, it helps us to create an unbreakable support system. You know, it helps us to create an unbreakable support system, a support system that helps us as individuals to stand firm against fear or any kind of isolation, no matter who the person is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Life is too complicated to go through it alone. Do not isolate yourself. As Christians, we need to come together and support each other. As we fellowship with one another, it sharpens our faith and it helps us to stand up to fear no matter what is up against us. Now, brethren, pay more attention. There's a critical area I want to talk about today regarding our message for today, Standing Up to Fear, Part 4. It is the area of feeding your imagination with fear. Feeding your imagination with fear means that you are using your creative mental energy to construct and imagine worst possible scenarios or outcomes. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When you feed your imagination with fear, you allow negative thoughts to dominate your thinking. Feeding your imagination with fear means that you imagine clear mental scenes of failure. You imagine things of loss. You imagine even danger that may never happen. These are all the tricky ways Satan used to deprive us of our full potential, to intimidate us. Feeding your imagination with fear means that you repeatedly replay your past painful memories and dwell on them. Oh, this man did this bad to me. This woman did it bad to me. Next one I meet, I'll be very cautious. Told you that. Feeding your imagination with fear means that you interpret ordinary situations as immediate dangerous threats. You turn your creative capacity into a source of fear and insecurity. You are jealous of other people for no reason. You worry so much about the present and the future. You allow your mind to go down rabbit holes, imagining negative scenarios for no reason at all. You imagine fears that often cause you more emotional pain that may develop into trauma all by yourself. You feed your imagination with toxic memories, which drains your energy. Don't kill yourself before you die. Because constantly worrying and focusing on fears can cause mental paralysis. It can hinder your ability to make decisions. It can hinder you from solving problems or act effectively. It can even hinder you from hearing from God. Let me tell you the truth. Feeding your imagination with fear is a spiritual, it is an emotional, and a mental self-inflict sabotage where your vain imaginations take root, making you to fear the future and present circumstances more than you trust in your God. It's a careless focus that makes you to forget that God is in absolute control of everything. Everything. Psalm 103 verse 19. I want everybody to read as you remain muted, so you can take in this word and the power that comes with the words today. Psalm 103 verse 19 says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. The supreme power of God rules over all, everything. Therefore, look up to him with confidence. He is your Father. He is your God. Wake up, my fellow Christians. Fear is used as a tool by the enemy to paralyze believers and keep us from fulfilling our calling, and also keep us away from fulfilling our destiny. The Bible warns us against dwelling on useless, vain imaginations, imaginary fears that are not based on reality or truth. The Bible advises us against feeding our emotions with fear by casting down imaginations and capturing thoughts to obey Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 says so. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Brethren, Let us tear down every imagination of fear and replace them with confidence in God's power and love. Bring them all under the obedience of Jesus Christ. Instead of imagining worst-case scenarios, anchor yourself to God's word. Meditate on His word. Read the scripture repeatedly. Do not listen to worship. Do things that lift up your spirit. Call a sister. Call a brother. Share your problems with them. They will help lift you up off your burden. God gave us an imagination to be used for faith, not fear. Instead of imagining the worst, use your mind to picture God's faithfulness and His provisions. Brethren, replace all your negative mental images with the truth in God's word. No matter how terrifying they are, listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9 says, "Finally, brethren," He's talking to you and I, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good reports, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Those things which ye have both learned and received. Those things which ye had both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Apostle Paul says we should do a mental filter by replacing negative impure thoughts with things that are excellent, things that are worthy of praise, and things that align with God's teachings. Let us intentionally feed our minds with virtuous, positive, and godly thoughts henceforth. Thoughts and imaginations that are true, noble, and righteous, so that we will be able to stand up to fear at any time. There are some key things you must do if you want to stand up to fear and stay in control. If you want to stand up in fear, stand up to fear and remain in control, you have to stop nourishing fear. Stop feeding fear by reducing your consumption of social media feeds, streaming, watching horror movies, X-rated junk, and conversations that amplify fear. There are so many other sources that flood your mind and your thoughts with dark narratives. You know them. Stop them. Redirect your mental energy used for worrying and imagining fears towards potential solutions for positive outcomes. Consciously choose to use that same power to build bridges of hope and trust in God. Use that power to reach out to lost souls. People need you. They are dying every day. They need you to speak life into their life. They are crying every day for help. You don't know who you will touch. Even the word "God bless you" can encourage somebody and lift them up from their burden. Go out there and preach to them, minister to them at your places of work. Even in your school, wherever you are, represent Christ there and bring out a word of encouragement out of your mind. God gave you an imagination to be used for faith and not for fear. God gave us the gift of sanctified imagination, which was demonstrated by our father Abraham. You know very well, Abraham was instructed by God to visualize the stars and believe that his descendants will be as uncountable as the stars in heaven. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 to 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 to 6 says, "And he brought him forth abroad, and he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." So shall thy seed be. And what, you know what Abraham did? He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He believed. Let me feed your imagination with this something. Only God can promise Abraham or anyone to have countless descendants like the stars. Only God. Because at that time, Abraham was childless. But he believed, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Righteousness that was based on trust and faith in God. Today, Abraham has countless children, as numerous as the stars, which includes me and you. Trust in God's promises, even when situations look hopeless. Trust in him. Use your imagination to focus on God's promises and believe in his word. From now on, use your imagination to picture God's faithfulness and his provision. Let me share this with you about some mistakes and conclusions we jump into sometimes. When some of us are waiting for a text response, somebody must have texted you and said, "Okay, don't worry, I'll text you back when so and so thing happened or when this happened," and never came through. Or you had an appointment with someone that never kept it. Or someone made a promise to you that was never fulfilled. That promise, you were expecting it, but it was never fulfilled. Instead of jumping into anxiety-fueled conclusion or assumption based on your own judgment, give them the benefit of doubt. Maybe the other person's phone died, or the person is in a meeting. Maybe it's in a meeting. Or he or she completely forgot. Whatever it may be, I want you to have a habit and a discipline to be pray for that person as you replace your mind reading with prayer. Slow down and take stock sometimes. Seek out rest and quiet moments and enjoy God's presence. Stop dwelling on the negative circumstances around that fuel you to sometimes depression for no reason. Nourish your imagination with beauty and the splendor of God's creation. Listen to powerful worship songs and hymns that will encourage your spirits and yourself. Watch movies and stories of God's faithfulness in biographies and testimonies. Listen to our messages on YouTube and on our website. They will encourage you too. Let your imagination grow in healthy directions as you imagine great things about our great God. Let God's truth and his goodness appear larger than the false imagination and fear that try to dominate your mind. No matter the good things you begin to imagine, from now onwards, I believe so in the name of Jesus, you will begin to imagine good things. God will do abundantly more with his power at work in you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God, with his limitless power, can do more than all we can ask, we can dream, or we can imagine. God can go beyond the best case scenario even we envision. God can go exceedingly and above whatever best scenario we envision or we dream of. His divine power is active within believers through the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Bible acknowledges fear and anxiety as part of our human condition, but it offers us a pathway to peace through faith, through prayer, and reliance on God's promises. Through this means, we believers are equipped to face and stand up to life's uncertainties with courage and confidence in God's unfailing love, having no fear in us. God wants you to approach Him in faith, believe in His word, trust in Him above everything else. Put your trust in Him, believe in Him, have faith in Him above anyone else. Never write a problem off as being too hard for God to handle. All things are possible for Him. As long as you seek the Lord, you will find Him, and He will set you free from all your fears. So says Psalm 34, verse 4. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. I will say it again. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. This means when you seek God through prayer, it attracts His divine attention. When you call God in prayer, you attract His divine attention that gives you answers to you having your inner peace and setting you free from all that is making you afraid. Turn to God first before anything. Trust in God. Turn to God first. Moment when you think you feel panic or you feel afraid, turn to God. God hears your prayers, and He will set you free from all the terrors that produces imagination in your mind. I have a personal message and an encouragement to everyone that has a fearful heart. It comes from the Word of God that tells you, fear no more, because this verse I'm about to read is sending a powerful message to each and every one of you personally. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4 says, say to him, or say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. This is a reassurance for believers who are facing unfair treatment, being bullied, being oppressed, being attacked emotionally, spiritually, to be strong and do not fear. Do not take revenge yourself, because God is coming to deal with all of them for you. God actively intervenes when we call on Him in prayer to save His people. He intervenes, He saves His people. He hears, He hears your prayer, and He takes action. He takes vengeance on behalf of those who are wronged. Don't do it yourself. But who are those that God is destined to save? God is saying He will hear your prayer. If you pray to Him, He will hear your prayer, and He will come in and save you. But who are those that God is destined to save? Who are those that God is coming with vengeance for? Who are those that God fights for? They are those who put their trust in Him. They are those who God calls His own. They are those who put their faith in God. Those who put their trust in Him. those who pray with confidence to him, those who want to stop feeding their imaginations with fear, those determined to turn their vain imaginations to grow in healthy directions of God, and those who want to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. So, if you are not relatable to any of these, and you are ready to be called a child of God, if you have truly made up your mind to be born again child of God, here's the invitation as you repeat after me the prayer of salvation. Heavenly Father, I know that I've sinned against you. I repent of all my sins. Please forgive me. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, and he is alive. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life. Take absolute control of my life. And write my name in the Lamb Book of Life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I believe you've been blessed with this message. Join an amazing moment in God's presence by fellowshipping in His presence. There we'll learn and grow in God's words and prayer. It's a partnership with God's people and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Follow the link below to join us every Sunday and bi-weekly Wednesdays on our audio platforms. You're welcome.